Together, James chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12 tonight. Let's stand out of respect to God's Word. If you're physically able, if you're not, don't you worry about that. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. All right, ready? Let's begin. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Father, please bless your word to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Watch your language. Have you ever heard that before? We have there in your notes, watch your language. Have you ever said that to someone? I have. I've been the recipient of both of those statements. I've had somebody say it to me. I've said it to somebody else. It certainly makes one consider their speech with circumspection. Folks, you don't believe this, and I promise you it's true. When I first got saved, I could make a sailor blush with my language. And I was so nervous after I got saved that I was going to say a curse word in front of my pastor. I'm telling you, I measured almost every word that came out of my mouth when I was around him, because it was just part of my nature. It was just part of my speech. By the way, that's what unsaved people do. A cat meows because it's a cat. A sinner cusses because he's a lost sinner. Amen. And then, boy, it takes a little while to get that out. So, note there, James has warned the believer several times about the dangers of a wagging and untamed tongue. Several times. He talked about be slow to speak, swift to hear. He talked about in James 1:26 about the bridling of the tongue. You know, if you say you have religion but you don't bridle your tongue, you're a liar. And then, of course, devoted 12 verses to it in the third chapter of James about the tongue. Amen. Set on fire of hell when it's untamed. So here we're talking, it says there, watch your language is the title of our lesson tonight. We've got 3 points and a bunch of little subpoints here. Number one, the prohibition against evil speech. The prohibition against evil speech. Look at verse 11, church. And I'm moving right along. Boy, I'm looking at the time. It's racing tonight. Amen. Speak not evil one of another. So we have A, the explicit command. This is not a suggestion. It's a command of God. Speak not evil one of another. But then not only do we have an explicit, and by the way, I don't see how you could possibly misinterpret this command. Amen? It's pretty straightforward. Speak not evil one of another. Okay? But not only is there an explicit command, but the next word, there's an entire company. Blank line there. Company. What's the company? Brethren. He is talking to blood-washed believers. And he's talking about, really, the sin of backbiting against one another. And ladies and gentlemen, I hate to bring this to your attention, but it's a prevalent sin amongst Christians. Speaking evil one of another. You know, grandma's advice is still good advice. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything. It is okay to say, you know what? I don't talk about other brothers or other sisters. You know, because what will happen is a gossip will come to you. They do. Unless they know that you don't tolerate gossip. I told you the story about my pastor, and somebody came and said, I want to talk to you about this and this and this, and they get talking, and he just said, stop it! I'm not a garbage can. Amazing, the gossip didn't come around anymore after that. Amen. But they'll come to you and they'll want to... But it says right here, speak not evil one of another. And it gives an explicit command, and it gives the entire company... Listen, it's fine if the world wants to speak evil one of another. Can I say this? It's fine if the world wants to speak evil of us, and by the way, they should. Yeah, they do, and they should. But it's a whole nother thing when we as Christians speak evil one another. You know, Galatians 6 says, or Galatians 5 rather, it says, beware if you bite one another, you'll devour one another. It's talking here. There's a prohibition against evil speech. The explicit command, the entire company. But then, we have the caution against an elevated status. Not only is there a prohibition against evil speech, but there's a caution against an elevated status. We see A there on your outline, the revealing. The revealing takes place when we speak evil of our brother. You know, the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a youth pastor, very often, we would drive somewhere. And we had a van, a 15-passenger van. And I'd be up front, of course, driving, such as the youth pastor's lot. But I wouldn't be talking to the youth Brother Holy. I'd be... Because I found that verse to be 100% spot on. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth... I could tell the kids that were interested in Hollywood movies. I could tell the kids that were interested in rotten music. Brother Jeff, just by listening to him for a few minutes. I could tell the kids that were interested in loving and serving God. Because out of the abundance of the heart... Listen, get a U of M fan in this room. We've got several. It was a rough weekend for you guys. You don't have to be around a U of M fan long to know that they like U of M. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe this week there is, but there was nothing wrong with that Friday. Amen. That's okay. You don't have to be around me long to know that I like the New England Patriots, which wasn't much better on Sunday. Why? I like them, so I talk about them. See, there's a revealing that takes place here, folks. The revealing is speaking evil of your brother. B, what's the root? A judgment of your brother. A judgment of your brother. And lest you think me a liberal, because I'm not. I want to be a liberal giver. That's about it. Amen? There are times... The Bible tells us that we are to judge sin and wrong within the congregation. Yes. Called church discipline. There's a time for it. Judge righteous judgment. But this is not what this is talking about here at all. It's talking about fault finding amongst the brethren. And James, it was obviously dealing with going on in James' day, and it goes on in our day. We look at others with a skewed glance. And the root of it was he was judging his brother. It came out in his lips, but his heart, the root was judging. The results, see, we have three of the results here. What's the results when we, if you look at verse 11, when we speak evil of our brethren, it says, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, here comes the results. Speaketh evil of the law. Number one, there's a reproaching. There's a reproaching. Now, it's not talking about here. Many times we know the law, speaking to the Old Testament. It's not talking about the Old Testament. If you go back probably just a page to James 2:8, you'll see the law that it's talking about. James 2:8. Says, but if ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture. What's the royal law according to the Scripture? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's our royal law, one to another. I'm going to speak this Sunday, Lord willing, on the great commandment, which is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. But the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. One is our responsibility to God. One is our responsibility to others. So there's a reproaching. But then there's a ruling that takes place. These are the results of an elevated status. It said, he that speaketh of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You become a judge. Okay? You judge your brother. You judgeth the law. You become the ruler. And then lastly, there's a rending, or it means to tear up. Because when you're the judge, you're not a doer. I played team sports for a long time. Often, I have to tell players, and sometimes I have to tell it to myself, you are not the umpire. You are a player. So play the game. Because when you're umpiring, you're not playing the game. I've seen people get upset over a call and then miss a play. Miss a defensive assignment in basketball. Miss literally, maybe a third baseman goes to make a tag and he thinks he's got him. The umpire calls safe. Now, by the way, that upsets me if he's really out. But the third baseman goes to the umpire and says, safe, what do you mean? And meanwhile, the guy on second base goes to third because he thought it was his job to umpire. It's not his job. His job's to play the game. You know what our job is? To do the law. And that is to love one another. And you can't do that if you're judging your brother. That's what it's saying here. There's a rending. You might as well take that royal law and just tear it all up. There's a rending. It's a caution against an elevated status. It's a prohibition against evil speech. Number three, and lastly, we have the recognition of an exclusive sovereign. Prohibition against evil speech. Caution against an elevated status. And then the recognition of an exclusive sovereign. Three things we see here about God. We see the position of God, first of all. It says there in verse 12, there is one lawgiver. Listen, there's one lawgiver. It's God's job to judge, brothers and sisters. Amen? And He will do it, and He will do a much better job than you and I with our fault-finding heart. Amen. I was speaking to myself. I wasn't yelling at you. I was yelling at me. We can be like that, can't we, church? Amen. So there's the position of God. There's the power of God. There's only one that's able to save and to destroy. Only one. Remember when Jesus said, fear not them which can kill the body. Matthew 10:28. But rather, fear Him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Who's that? God. Only God is able to save and to destroy. So there's the position of God. There's the power of God. And lastly, you know what there is? There's the playing of God. Look at the end of verse 12. Who art thou that judgest another? Who are you to pick out the faults of another? I'll tell you who you are, or I'll tell you who you think you are. You are playing God when you do that. And listen, it's not my place to do that. It's not your place to do that. Not talking about judging sin and church discipline. We're talking about fault finding. We're talking about when somebody disagrees with maybe a preferential position that you have and you just write them off. They're not even saved. Oh, who art thou that judgest thy brother, Romans said. For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. One way or another. I'm not going to give an account for that brother that I disagree with. I'm going to give an account for me. And my heart. And you know what? I'm going to give account for whether I prayed right for that brother or not. Amen. Oh, Father, bless my brother that he'll adopt my position. No. Bless my brother. He's trying to win souls for you. I pray that you'd help him. Give him wisdom and discernment. Bless him with good things. You know, there's a big difference in those two prayers.
Yeah.
One's a playing God prayer. One's a heartfelt prayer for our brother. Got a great quote in here on the end. I want to read it and we'll close here. Lehman Strauss, great book on James, by the way. He said, "There is a judgment that is right and scriptural. The subject in James' epistle is not civil government nor church discipline, but it's the sin of fault finding, brother against brother. If it falls our lot to pass judgment on anyone, let us be certain we are not uncharitable or inconsiderate to judge another's motives." Amen to that. "Rather, let it be done in love and with the fullest possible knowledge of the facts in question. But if we must question the motives or actions of another Christian, it is always more profitable to speak to him than of him." Amen. Amen. Make a judgment. Boy, it'd sure be a lot better to get with that person and find out if that judgment is true. And by the way, that's why James tells us to be slow to speak. Because sometimes we've made a judgment here, but we haven't said it. And then we go and talk to that person and we realize that here was wrong. Amen. Watch your language. Watch your language. Father, thank you for this time in the Word tonight. Thank you for this time in prayer. Thank you for the fellowship of the saints tonight. Oh, Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to love our brothers and sisters. Lord, to think the best, as we say so often, Lord. Help us to be charitable. Help us to think perhaps what they're going through before we make a quick and rash judgment. Father, help us to be slow to speak. Help us to bridle that tongue. Lord, help us to be careful about judgments. Help us not to play God. Lord, to leave that in your hands and to love our brothers and sisters and lift them up. Lord, help us, Lord, to live on higher ground. We love you. Thank you for all that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. Page 291.